at the 26-yard line. Henry, running lane. Henry! Turning on the speed, Derrick Henry. Stiff arm. Henry, another. Oh, he's done it again. Oh, Henry! Touchdown, Titans. You knew it was coming.
Blitz coming. Mariota throws in the end zone. Man is there. Touchdown, Titans! Corey Davis, his first ever touchdown catch at Nissan Stadium. That's why you pick him. That's why you want him. And that's why Marcus Mariota is the man.
Welcome to the Transatlantic Titans podcast. We're the only UK-based Titans podcast you will find. We've done 126 episodes of these, and all 126 episodes, our head coach has been Michael George Brabel. This is episode number 127, and it's not going to be. Black Tuesday, I guess, is the new Black Monday. We have heard within the last couple of hours that the Titans have fired our head coach. Greg is here with me. I think, well, we're all going to have plenty to say. How are you doing, Greg?
Yeah, not too bad. Does this mean we've got a change from episode, whatever, 127, and now it's going to be head coach to episode one?
No.
Okay. I thought I'd ask just in case.
No, that would be crazy. Neil is here. How are you doing, Neil?
Good, thanks.
Miles is here to make it 2-2 for South versus North. How are you doing, Miles?
I just realised his middle name was George. Hi, guys.
I may have got that wrong. I was entirely gone off memory, very impulsive. Maybe his middle name's not George. Someone fact check that for. I mean, that's the most important thing that we've got to discuss. So, Miles, what's your reaction?
My immediate reaction was sort of shocked by it. If I'm honest, I foreseen a trade or something like that. I just didn't see it coming. Like, I think we've been coming to terms of what might happen with Henry, what might happen with Tannehill. I didn't even think about Vrabel. But then when you actually think about it, the entire coaching staff has, I mean, Greg's been saying it like crazy, that they've let themselves down in terms of just general coaching and this team has been poor, based on the way that there's been no growth of most players. The record's been poor this year, but for the Jags win, which we'll get into, I'm sure, briefly, you know, it's a 5-12 season, no wins in the division, and we've been poor. That doesn't keep you in a job. So I think when I've given myself a bit of time to actually think it over, I didn't see it coming, and we know that the media are going to react to this because they're like, oh, Michael Vrabel, like how can they let him go? He's one of these amazing coaches, and someone's going to be, and someone might be lucky to have him and he might go on to do great. But fundamentally, we've had a poor couple of seasons. I mean, don't even get me started on the offensive line and everything else, but I'm not shocked by it now. I've had some time to actually like look at where we are. It's a business decision, and it's probably the right one.
Neil, we've had a few discussions this season. I could think of a pod where I think just you and me did, where we were almost there between us. We were almost at the point where we kind of had enough. But that was before the Miami win, where he just reminded us what the guy can do. Where are you at now? We've probably all got mixed feelings about this, and it's going to divide opinion. But what was your reaction?
My reaction was I weren't surprised as such, because like if you'd have asked me, say yesterday, do you think Mike Vrabel will be coaching Titans in 2024, I'd have probably been like 50-50 on whether they were or not. But I assumed obviously that some kind of trade scenario were going to go down. As far as like how I feel about it, it depends on whether you or I or anybody thinks Mike Vrabel is that guy that the people in the media say he is. Whether he is that guy that's guaranteed to win a Super Bowl somewhere down the line and there'll be 31 other teams that are gladly have him as their head coach. If you still think he's that guy, then possibly it's a dark day for you and not the kind of news that you wanted to see. if you're somebody like me, who, although I've no animosity for towards him, respect everything he did, and still think he's a great head coach, I'm fed up of watching dinosaur football. I'm pretty excited about what could come. I'm not taking this negative sort of, who are we going to get? Who's available? There's no other coach that could coach the Tennessee Titans, because that's just not true. So, like, I'm just looking forwards now. Let's see what we can get and let's see what kind of team we put out.
I find it hard to imagine improving on him. That's my initial reaction here. We're obviously going to try, and because why would you fire a guy if you don't think you can improve on what you've got? The thing I can't shake is there's more to this than we've had a bad season or we've had a bad couple of seasons. Let's get rid, like Atlanta have done, like Washington have done, and like, you know, a handful of teams do every single season. It feels like this is it's more to it than just a reaction to the football we've seen in the last few weeks. Greg, where are you at? Happiness? I mean, you're never happy, obviously. That goes without saying. But has this made you more miserable or less miserable?
I'm a bit in the middle. I'm not really sure what to think in regards to. I agree with Neil in terms of I feel that the football that Mike Vrabel very much brought into this franchise, I do think is outdated. I do think he's the biggest problem I've got with him is selections in the coaching staff, certainly the coordinator position, but even the other coaches, I don't think they've been up to standard, and ultimately that falls on his shoulders. He's hiring them, and that's been my biggest problem with Mike Vrabel for a long, long time. If the decision is made because they wanted to take those decisions away from him, if they said Rand's going to hire all the coaches or someone else or whatever it may be, and he's just said no, and it's a Mike Mularkey situation with Terry Robiskie, then I'm okay with it. I think I'll sleep at night and I won't be as worried about it. If it's something else, then I'm a little bit more surprised. I wasn't expecting it. I think it's one of those things that I was fully expecting at least another year. I think he has another year on his contract, I'm pretty sure. And I was kind of expecting he would see that out unless he was traded. And the fact that we fired him before trading him, I understand the mindset of they want to get moving with interviews and they don't want to miss out on potential top candidates and all of that side of it. But you're going to miss out on potentially a better pick if New England are interested.
I just want to talk about this trade thing, because I can't think of too many examples of a head coach getting traded. Sean Payton's the obvious recent one, right? And he was already on sabbatical, and he kind of, I don't know whether they called it a retirement, but he wasn't actually coaching.
He was under contract. He was under contract.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what Vrabel will be. What Vrabel will be.
Yeah, but how often does this happen? I think maybe New Orleans were happy to do it because they weren't under time pressure. This is the weird thing with Black Monday every year. Like, this week is a huge mad race for all teams to fire their head. If that's what they want to do, they fire the head coach as quickly as possible so they're ahead of the game with trying to get a new one. Now, obviously, playoff teams can't do that. We were in a weird situation last time round with Mike Mularkey. Mike Vrabel as a hire originally, I think, surprised a few people. He wasn't top of the list back then. He was a Texans coordinator. We hired him too late. We missed the rush because we were in the playoffs that year. Now, I think this is the trade thing. Yeah, maybe there was a possibility that New England would have given something up, but they haven't fired Belichick yet. So the clock was ticking there. So I can't be too mad at not.
I wouldn't be surprised if the reason like they haven't fired Belichick is because they're also in the works. There's been a lot of talk about Washington, but I don't even think we need to go into that. I think with the Vrabel situation for me, the decision that's been made, I understand why it's been made. I think it's a direction they're looking to take this team is obviously very, very different. The league has changed, as to Neil's point, and I'm on board with that side of it. I think Mike Vrabel split opinions, not only in fan bases, but also, you know, you look at the the players that we've had over the years. And you either, you have people like Taylor Lewan, who his immediate reaction on the Rich Eisen show was shock and disappointment. And they can't believe that, or he can't believe the Titans have done this. And then you've got players who, when they leave the Titans, you know, make it out as if it was absolute hell on earth to be there. I'm thinking of like Robert Woods, Tia Tart, those morons. So you're kind of in a situation where he is Marmite at the end of the day. And anyone who takes him on board in the future will have to appreciate that that is what he is. With us, I think we're moving in a different direction. I've got a nervousness more around the decision that Amy has to now make, or Ran has to now make, whoever's going to make the decision on who that next head coach is going to be. Because that decision for me is in, I mean, it can make or break us for the next 5 to 10 years.
Let's come back to that. We'll all have some ideas on that one. I'm just going to read the statement from the team, or from Amy Adams-Strunk, which doesn't say a great deal, but just want to touch on it. Earlier today, I spoke with Mike Brable and told him about my decision to make a change at head coach. I appreciate Mike's contributions to the Tennessee Titans, both on and off the field. We wish Mike, Jen and the Brable family nothing but the best in the future. It doesn't specifically mention poor performance or anything like that. I know these things generally don't. But you always have a reaction to a firing as if, well, the reason has to logically be that you haven't done a good enough job. But just doesn't feel like that. As I say, there are a couple of two theories doing the rounds, really. One you've kind of touched on, Greg, and that's that it's been a power struggle, and it's come down to a choice between Ran and Mike. And that seems to be reported in a couple of places that essentially that's the choice that Amy has made. It looks like it's going to be down to Ran to make the next hiring and all the hiring decisions going forward. The other theory that is doing the rounds, and there could be an element of both, and there could be even linked, is that Amy or Ran decided that Tim Kelly's got to go, and or Shane Bowen or other coaching staff potentially, and Brable's dug his heels in and refused. They're his guys, which we've certainly speculated in recent weeks that might be something that could happen. Mars, where do you think there's any truth in either or both of those theories?
It's a team rebuild, isn't it? And I feel like as we've touched on and will continue to touch on, the coaches haven't performed. I lean towards the latter, that I felt like they probably were Vrabel's guys and they were aware that, listen, if we're going to end up, whether it's Levis or whatever the plan is going forward, like, we need a fresh start, and the fresh start isn't just with the players, but it's with the coach, the head coach, and the way the building's probably ran. Like, they're probably after a completely new fresh start to get rid of any sort of negativity in there, which could have been carried from years past that hasn't really been resolved for the past couple of years. You don't know, but I lean towards the latter. I think it's something to do with the coaches. I think they want a full rebuild, and we're not just talking players here.
Neil, what about you? The idea of another season of Tim Kelly. I mean, none of us were behind that. But the fact that, unlike a year ago, no news of a change of coordinator came out yesterday on Black Monday, it did make my brain start to go and think, what's coming here? What's your gut feeling?
I think maybe it's just, I mean, my gut feeling is that maybe this has just run its course. I think Ryan Tannehill, Derek Henry, AJ Brown, Mike Vrabel, that era did not bring a championship to Nashville. And now it's even further away from bringing a championship to Nashville. And Amy's not been afraid to make this type of decision in the past, be it right or wrong. I mean, obviously, she would have had some autonomy over the AJ Brown trade as well, you would imagine. So I don't think she's scared to make this type of decision, and it wouldn't surprise me if it were more sort of straightforward, we need to move on and we need a new direction, rather than anything to do with politics or the relationship between Vrabel and Ran or his coordinators. I think it could be as clear-cut as just, let's move on and let's try something different.
I think, like, we see it in other sports where things just go stale. Like you could have how many? I mean, in brown ball football, soccer, you've got Sir Alex Ferguson, you've got Arsene Wenger, who had jobs for a long, long time, but they're the exception. You don't see it these days, and like six seasons for Coach Vrabel's a long time in actual fact. And however good a coach you are. Like I have no doubt. I mean, whether you think 31 teams want him or not, I don't know. But I think there'll be like he's not going to struggle to get another head coaching gig immediately. Whether that's Foxborough or somewhere else, who knows? But that's not even an issue. But things can go stale. You can sort of get to like nobody here thinks the roster's great at the moment, so you can't maybe pin that on him. But you could probably pin some of it. He's obviously had a say in what goes on to a certain extent, both with J-Rob and then with Ran Carthen. We've seen frustration this year at times. You know, we've seen dejected players. We've seen some woeful performances. It's been a mixed bag. Obviously, we've come out of the season with six wins, but it would be kidding ourselves if we thought everything was rosy with the situation. As much as this news is a shock, it's, you know, something wasn't right. We all knew that. I wouldn't have been happy going into next season with the same coordinators for sure, or even kind of similar coordinators, which we saw 12 months ago. Took Todd Downing, went, and we moved Tim Kelly up. And if something like that, a similar shift had happened again, I don't think we'd be all happy about it. So, yeah. Maybe it was a him or me thing. Maybe it was refusal to change things. But yeah, I guess something had to give.
I think another variable that we've not really discussed is like the cap space situation as well. Do you think, obviously, there's a boatload of cap space to be spent in free agency to hopefully bolster this roster? Do you think maybe letting Vrabel have his fingerprints on that and then bolt into England a year later would be something that weren't preferable?
Well, maybe. It's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out. Like, Greg, you touched on it. You know, it was a bit Marmite. There were some guys that loved Mike Vrabel. There were some guys that didn't. There were some of the guys were his guys, and it feels like you say it's a end of a certain era. We probably had a Super Bowl window briefly. I think 2019 was probably the best chance, and we almost realized too late, maybe. But
even 2021, like that year, number one seed. I know Henry had just come off the injury, but there's been opportunities. There's been, and we've not been able to see it through, and we've been, I think, unfortunate with injuries in some cases, like that KC game in 2019/2020, in the AFC Championship game. You know, we still had some pretty poor players playing in that game because of injuries to key starters. I actually think, like, this year we've criticised the Titans a lot for what we've seen on the field. I actually think six wins is actually a bit of a miracle with the roster that we had this year. I genuinely think most head coaches would be lucky to get any more than three or four wins out of the roster that we've had. Certainly in the for the latter part of this season, the last sort of six, seven games. So Vrabel is one of those head coaches that, you know, you put him into the right team, you know, a defensive-minded team, definitely, that sort of team that want to grind out those wins. I think he can get success. But for me, I'm not worried about necessarily firing him. I am more worried about, you know, the decision that's going to be coming up. I really hope they go in a direction that is completely different. The worst thing I can see them doing right now is going and getting a Mike Vrabel Mark II that is the same kind of guy, but, you know, with the same kind of mentality that Neil was to be screaming about. I really want us to go after, you know, a more offensive-minded head coach now, someone who is very much in the mind frame of modernising, you know, how we play football.
I sort of agree, but I'm not sure it's for the right reasons. Like, I can't bear the idea of trying to get someone like Mike Vrabel again, because I don't think you can. I don't want, if you can, they're not going to be better than him. We're not, you're not going to improve things that way. So I think you have to change them. We've got to go, we've got to look in a different direction.
No, when I say someone like Mike Vrabel, I'm talking someone who's maybe got the same philosophies in regards to how football should be played, or the way that he wants football to be played in a similar kind of vein. What I want is someone who's going to come in and say, you know what, this is what the NFL is in 2024, and we need to adapt and become that. We've got a quarterback who has shown glimpses, and obviously it's a small sample so far, but he's shown glimpses that he could be the quarterback that can play in that kind of system. You've got to go and fix a hell of a lot elsewhere in this roster to get the rest of the team up to that level. But that's really where the focus is for me. Is I'll be, even if it's just a defensive minded head coach, I'll be a bit frustrated, because I think we just need someone. You know, this is an offensive league. We all know that. I think defensively, if you get the right coordinator or the right assistance, I mean, even if Shane Bowen was, for some miracle, was to stay, I can't see that actually happening now Vrabel's gone. But if he was
surely none of them are staying at this point.
I'd be amazed if any of them do. But, you know, you've got some good players on defense in this team, and it's about building around them, and the likes of your Simmons, you know, the likes of McCreary. You know, there's a lot to fix in that side of the field still. But it'd be really interesting to see what this does, you know, what this means now for, you know, those guys who have been Vrabel's boys. Someone like, I won't talk about Derrick Henry in this situation. I'm thinking more like Danico Autry. Like, is that now, you know, is he going to be a player that ran Caesars, one of the old regime, and actually, you know, he's gone past 30 years old or wherever he is now, and actually we want to freshen it up and go in a different direction, because his play this year for me has justified at least another year. I'll be very disappointed if I saw him playing for another team next year, because I think he's been incredible.
Decisions like that are always tricky, because you know, once a player's that age, that there's going to be a decline. It's just how much, and it's been the same for the last couple of years with Derek. Exactly. You want to move on too early rather than too late if you can. I'd like to see a change to something more offensively minded, partly because there'll just be that comparison otherwise, that direct comparison. It won't work unless you have a change of approach. And even if it doesn't work that well or doesn't work that quickly, you won't have that same level of pressure, because you've said, right, we've taken this team in a different direction.
I think this roster next year could look just completely different. Like this, there is genuinely nobody bar three or four players that I would be, I won't say might not be here next year. Like, even those guys that you think, oh, yeah, you can imagine them being here next year. But I think genuinely it's now in a situation where Ran could go and completely change everything that's going on with this roster. And I'm not talking stupid names here. Like, we know players like Simmons, Landry, Levis, those guys are all safe. But I do think there'll be a couple of surprises. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Treylon Burks is moved on, because, I mean, we didn't even get a single target on Sunday, let alone a catch. You know, so they're, I think there's big decisions and Ran doesn't have that loyalty to some of those guys that I think Vrabel obviously did, because they were drafted around the time or brought in around the time before Ran was here. So I think it could be a massive overhaul. And I think the rebuild, I've said for weeks that this is not just a 1 year turnaround. I think now more than ever, we know that's definitely not going to be a 1 year turnaround realistically.
This is a massive project. Like, if you think of what the cap space could potentially be on top of draft picks and everything else, like, I agree, this could be a huge turnover of squad. Not just, like, starters, but, like, complete overhaul. And I wouldn't be shocked if there is only a handful that stay on. And I think this is where it comes back to again with Vrabel, where it's, why don't you get... I mean, we can start going through who we think we'd like at coaches another time, but there's a lot of names out there that, you know, like, right, you've got... not rookie quarterback, but basically a brand new quarterback. Here's all this cap space. Build a team in a division that is competitive. Like, anyone could still win this division. And there's nothing stopping you from in your first year getting into the playoffs if you have a little bit of a turn of form. But also, if it's that much of a project, it could go the other way for a year or so. It's, I think that's why it's going to be an overhaul everywhere. It's like, we had our chance, didn't happen, let's go again.
I think we should probably throw a few names around just for the fact that it's gonna happen pretty quick.
Bienemy for me.
Bienemy, I don't know what's going on in Washington.
Ron's gonna be going. Whether or not I think someone like Bienemy would be perfect. So that level of I would have been shocked though if we look towards college football. I know people have mentioned a few college names, but
that always scares me. How often does that work?
Exactly. To me, Bienemy's proven with QBs and offense to know what he's talking about in terms of. Yeah, I just think it's someone like that that we should be looking for. But there's a lot of names out there.
I can see. Sorry, Adam. I can see Ran going down that sort of Niners route, looking at that staff. I mean, I know obviously he's been out of that organization for a bit of time now, but I can definitely see him going down that route. Alternatively, I can see him going for someone probably on the younger side. I can't see him going with experience. I think he's going to go and look at, like, you look at the head coaches in this league that people think are quite exciting, or teams that are quite exciting. A lot of them are led by younger head coaches, right? A lot of them are led by those sort of guys that have come off that Shanahan coaching tree. You just look at one of the games over the weekend, they were talking about that coaching tree and how many of them were in Washington not that long
2013
ago.
Washington coaching staff. Yeah.
So I can definitely see it, coming from that sort of tree or somewhere like that. I can definitely see it working that way. He definitely wants to build that same kind of mentality that I think the Niners have. I think that's pretty clear.
It's always difficult when you have elite coordinators because they just go, they leave you. But you look at teams that have been successful in the last two or three years, like the 49ers, the Chiefs. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs, okay, they don't have a young head coach, but they've got an exciting head coach in Andy Reid. They've had, obviously, it helps having Patrick Mahomes. But they seem to have, like, I'm not saying the Chiefs have had an elite defense on the whole, but they've kind of let Spagnuolo run that. And run it well. They've had a half decent defense this year, which actually has maybe been towards the better side of the ball. But it, like, we've had a few years of almost not being able to do that. The only time we came close was probably Arthur Smith as offensive coordinator, where he was. But whether that's just him or just the nice timing for him, it's hard to say. But it's possible to run a franchise is what I'm saying, where both sides of the ball can excel sort of separately almost. So, like, even if you've got an offensive minded head coach, he should actually be able to leave a decent defensive coordinator to get on with it. That's what Mike Vrabel's never been able to do with the.
That was my biggest criticism of Mike Vrabel for a long, long time. Is you could tell defensively he was too hands on, and offensively he was almost getting in the way. You look at, and that's why I hated that year when Shane Bowen wasn't defensive coordinator, but let's face it, he was. For me, I think the first year when we had Matt LaFleur as offensive coordinator, I know Vrabel hated that because, LaFleur was given the keys to the car on offense. I don't think that went amazingly well, but he hated it because he didn't have that control. So as soon as he could then bring someone in from within, and Arthur Smith was that guy, he knew he could control it. And that's something that I've always hated about Vrabel. And that's one part that I just really want someone who's going to come in and be a bit exciting. You look at, like, Miami with McDaniels, for example. They're not flawless, but they've got a hell of a lot of talent. They've lost a few games here and there that probably shouldn't have. But, like, they're playing exciting football. They're playing football the way that it should be played in 2024. And that's the sort of head coach you kind of want to go after. I'm thinking, like, even someone like Ben Johnson at the Lions. Like, you can imagine someone like him potentially being a potential candidate. I know there's a lot of talk about him.
They're actually a good example of someone who've done the same. Dan Campbell's been able to do the same thing. Let Ben Johnson do that. Neil, any names from yourself? Any thoughts on who we might look towards?
I mean, he hasn't got the sort of deepest CV. But the guy from the Texans, Slowick, I mean, what he's done with their offense.
That same coaching tree, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, and what he's done with their offense is ridiculous as well. Like, sort of, pretty much nobody gave him an hope coming into this season. And I know Stroud's been brilliant, and that's an anomaly or another variable, but he's got a lot out of a little there. They haven't got a star-studded roster full of offensive, but he's put them in positions to be successful, which I don't feel like we've done with our offense for best part of three seasons now.
You just got to look at, sorry to interrupt, but I just got to look at Nico Collins. Nico Collins came in a third round pick, I think, 3 years ago. First 2 years in the league, I mean, barely caught a pass. This year, they brought in Tank Dell to give that down, sort of speed downfield. And Nico Collins has literally had a career year and has been incredible. So, and that's what it'll be an interesting one. And that's kind of why I think training Burks is probably worth keeping for another year, because you just don't know. If you get the right scheme and you draft well and get maybe some speed or get someone, I'm not saying Burks is going to then become, you know, the best wide receiver that we've got. You could still end up being the disappointment that he's been up until now, but we don't really know what we've got with Treylon Burks. So I think it could bring him to life.
It's maybe this is off-season podcast, isn't it, where we're looking at the roster probably. But I, like you've said, it's a blank sheet of paper, really. It's going to be completely fresh. Yeah, there will be some guys cut or traded that we don't expect, but there are probably one or two that will stick around that we don't expect. They might take, like as you suggest, Greg, we might have a look at Treylon Burks and think, maybe he's just we've been badly scheming, or we haven't been coaching him very well, because we know he's talented.
And there's some names out there that are be retreads, though, that really worry me, like Raheem Morris and Dan Quinn. Jesus, no. Please, no. Like, you're going to have to give me a rock star offensive coordinator if you're going to interview either of them guys.
Well, not quite the same vein, what about Jim Harbaugh? I don't know. One of those, I don't even know if I'm joking or not. I can't really. But he seems to be after a move back to the NFL.
I mean, massively expensive, but I wouldn't hate it. Do you know what I mean?
It's not a retread in the same way as Dan Quinn.
No. He didn't fail at the NFL level, exactly, essentially, did he?
Arthur Smith, that's been thrown around, possibly in jest. I hope in jest.
I mean, he's a Tennessee boy, isn't he? So, I mean, if he wants a job on coaching staff.
Tight ends coach, you can have that back.
Just not head coach.
I was going to say, give him tight ends coach, get Bieniemy in, get what's his name off of Miami, he's under McDaniels, although he's probably hunting for a head coach job. But there's a lot of young people you can get out there involved in the coaching, but I still feel like you need a bit of experience up there. As much as these young guys, some work, it's the leader of men mentality, isn't it? You've seen what happened at the Raiders when what's his name came in. Like, the team turned it around quickly, but they still have the moments where they just, it almost gives you that quick burst. But the longevity you want in a project, is that what you want? You saw it with Salah at the Jets. Like, everyone was raving about him, and now it's like, he's done. Like, you can come in and make an instant impact, but if this is a 5, 6, 10-year project, you actually need someone who knows what they're doing. You don't need someone who's fresh to it. It'll give you that burst at the start, but then it dies out very quickly.
It's going to be a lot of fun finding out, I think. It's the end of an era, and very much the end of an era for some players as well. This was originally on our agenda to talk about, really, today. I didn't expect that we'd be talking about a firing of a head coach, but here we are. We have spoiled the Jacksonville season by knocking them out of the playoffs at the cost of moving from 6th to 7th pick overall, which is not huge, obviously. If we'd knocked the Colts or the Texans out, I might have enjoyed it a bit more, but that's that me personally. Miles, you take any pleasure out of spoiling the season for the Jags?
It's funny, isn't it? If you take nothing else from it, just seeing the reaction of the Jags fans is enough for you to sort of just hop on Twitter or X and just read through some of the comments of it. It's almost frustrating, though, that, like, I think I was saying when I watched the game, like, I enjoyed watching the game, and I don't know if it was just because it felt like there was all pressure off and stuff, but we were doing little trick plays, we were trying little things, and it was there, like, where's this all season? You wonder if sometimes the pressure gets you because of your record and you feel like you have to do things a slightly different way. But the offensive line looked pretty solid. Like, Skoronski probably had his best game for the Titans so far. Maybe he was terrorizing. Like, Henry was rolling back the years as a game. It was enjoyable to watch, and if people were watching it for the if it's their first ever NFL game, God knows why you chilled that one. But like, you'd look at his team and go, how did he end up in this sort of overall record?
It showed us what this roster maybe could have done at its best, but it also showed us, I think, in some ways, why we're probably moving on. And what's wrong? Because I watched it with friend of the show Pat, a Jags fan, and I said to him at halftime, "Watch us for all the fun that we saw in the first half, all the trick plays, all the success we had offensively." I said, "Like, watch what happens. There won't be any adventurousness in the second half. We'll revert back to type." And we scored a touchdown for the first drive to kick off the third quarter. After that, it was just nothing.
It's happened all season.
And it was probably a bit lucky to hold on, in truth. You know, the fourth down conversion or the fourth and goal from the one where they couldn't punch it in. They had a couple of other turnovers. I mean, in truth, we're probably a bit lucky, but it was, as Miles, as you say, it was a lot of fun to watch. It showed, you know, that the king had a day, didn't he? And it did feel like end of an era on many levels, and it's almost certainly more so now. We're pretty certain that's the last game for Ryan Tannehill in a Titans uniform. We're pretty certain that's the last game for Derek Henry in a Titans uniform, and the Brabel news makes that even more likely. You know, he could follow him. who knows? Henry in a Patriots uniform. That's it's got to make you feel something, I guess.
Yeah, sick.
Yeah, that word works.
Yeah, I actually, so Sunday, the scripted plays and then the scripted drives, I guess, were fun, and it was enjoyable to watch. But yeah, I completely agree with you. Second half, it was almost like, okay, what are we going to do? We've got a bit of a lead here. We need to hold on to it rather than attack it and try and score more points. And I genuinely thought they were just trying to troll us when they scored 28 points middle of the third quarter, and
we're never going to score 30 again.
Still didn't get past 30. But no, it was one of those ones where. I went to Jacksonville earlier this year. They thought they had the division sewn up. They really did. Every single one of them were expecting that Houston would fall off. They didn't rate the Colts, and they thought the division was won. And I chatted to a few of them I was sat next to, and it was just almost like we own the AFC South at the moment, you know. Trevor Lawrence this, blah, 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 blah. And that whole time I was just sitting there thinking, maybe I'm that pessimistic guy that even when the Titans have been at their best, I'm still waiting for them to screw up. But I just can't imagine ever really saying that we own the AFC South or anything like that, personally.
Really, loads of parallels with them and us a year ago. Like, we had Tannehill was injured. We were struggling with that. You know, look at them now and Trevor Lawrence. He's been nursing a couple of injuries. I'm not saying... I don't think they blame that for missing the playoffs, but they let it drift just like we did a year ago. And
it was just worth Sunday was worth it purely for that game I had to sit for earlier this year for me. So I'm happy that we've knocked them out of the playoffs. I didn't really want to see two AFC South teams in the playoffs, and I think I'd probably speak for the rest of the NFL for that as well. Realistically, I think the Texans have deserved to win it this year. I think what the turnaround they've had. Stroud's looking an incredible talent, which is another reason why we need to get this whole thing right, because yeah, they could be a very good year, a very good team for a fair few years if we're not careful. So I think I enjoyed Sunday. It was, you know, I was fully expecting us to blow it at the end, and if we did, then I would have just said, oh well, never mind, we get a better pick potentially. But no, I really wanted to win that game because it's the Jags.
Yeah,
enjoyed our unwavering dedication to getting 7 catches for DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, fair play. Yeah,
a few of them were beauties as well, weren't they? There's a couple of one-handed catches in there.
So good.
That is one guy that I really do hope, because I think he is good for Levis. Yeah, I think he is exactly what Will Levis needs in year two.
There's chemistry there. The contract's there. I see no reason why he shouldn't stick around. I mean, nothing's off the table, as we know, but I'd like to think he's...
I mean, he has been known not to show up on that before.
Well, yeah.
No, it's a new nuke.
I think maybe, yeah, he might be all right with the news of what's happened. I sense that he was new this year. Rans brought him in. He wasn't a J-Rob guy. Rans brought him in. So, yeah, Rabel might have had a hand in it. I don't know. But it does. I'd like to think he's sticking around. Yeah, I don't. I think we'd be remiss not to talk about the two guys that probably won't be. Let's start with Ryan Tannehill, who joined the Titans around the time we started this podcast. And I didn't have mixed feelings about him coming in. He was coming in as a backup to Marcus, and Marcus was stinking the joint up after six games of the 2019 season, bench mid game at the Broncos, and Tannehill was announced started the following week at home to the Chargers. Greg, you were there. I wanted to be happy about it, but I think honestly my heart was still with Marcus a little bit too much. That's my problem, not anybody else's. But the moment, I mean, we had that win against the Chargers, which, you know, Tannehill played well. The defense performed a miracle at the end for the Melvin Gordon fumble. We won that game. We beat the Chiefs in that ridiculous game. But the moment that I thought, hang on, this is our guy, was against Jacksonville. I think maybe sort of his fourth or fifth game, something like that. We took off on a run about 20 yards from the end zone, couple of the defenders in the way on the goal line, and just jumped through them into the end zone. And this is our guy. He's going to run through a wall for us. Neil, give us some thoughts about Tannehill. What were your favorite things he did for us? I mean, I don't want to get into the playoffs a couple of years ago or anything like that. I think we all agree that it's the right time for him to move on, but this is just celebrating what he's done for us, really.
Yeah, I think the two playoff games obviously stand out, Baltimore and New England. And I think obviously the fact that when John Robinson were actually good at his job, the season we got to AFC Championship game, weren't Miami paying like 75% of his salary as well?
Yeah.
Which were excellent. So
it was backup money initially.
So, yeah. I mean, we had his sort of prime, really. I mean, he had a couple of bad injuries in Miami, but they never really saw the best of him. And also, we are not like sort of blessed with competent / decent quarterback play over the years either. So it was just a breath of fresh air when he came in. And obviously won a lot of games, which he deserves credit for.
Absolutely. Miles, what about yourself? What are your best memories of him?
Well, I mean, first of all, my first ever podcast episode was his first game. I always remember. My first one was his game against the Chargers. I'm not allowed to mention fantasy football on this podcast, but I've wrote down for both Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill my favourite fantasy football performance from them. For Ryan Tannehill, I thought there was a way I could get him involved. I thought in some way, I know I'm going to get beeped out in edit, but on the 18th of the 10th, 2020, Ryan Tannehill versus the Houston Texans won 42-36, where he had 366 yards and four touchdowns.
That was some game, wasn't it?
A game I decided to watch back. AJ Brown with a touchdown at the very end of the game before we took him to overtime, resulting in Derrick Henry running the ball in. My favourite thing about Ryan Tannehill is the flick of the wrist every time he went into the end zone.
I think as a
receiver in college, moving to quarterback, you could see that he was sneaky athletic. I say sneaky athletic. He never looked like he was athletic, but he almost had that element of, he's got a bit about him.
Big guy, though. He had a good physical presence when he took off.
Good feet for a big man, Peter Crouch. But no, I'm sure you can all guess my Derrick Henry fantasy game, but we'll get into that. But yeah, I just decided to watch back on some of the games where they'd had their big fantasy results. And when he was playing well, he was the amount we were paying him. It was a joy, and it was a great bit of business from the team. But a good thing come to an end. I anticipate he'll actually be in a Patriots uniform next year. Here first.
Maybe it made. We were a fun offense to watch for two or three years. That hasn't often been the case for the Titans. Greg, I'm going to ask you the same thing about Tannehill. I know what you're probably going to say, but I want to hear it anyway.
For me, he's had I think in the media, like, we've been such a run heavy team. Our offense, if you ask anyone who doesn't support the Titans, you know, what is the Tennessee Titans offense? Everyone talks about Derrick Henry, and we'll get to Derrick Henry. But I think Ryan Tannehill deserves a hell of a lot more respect than I think he's been given. I understand that, you know, as things, I mean, the Bengals game, after that, it kind of went downhill. But realistically, that sort of 2019 season was just unbelievable from him. Some of the quarterback play we saw. And that for me was, there was two games in that season, the playoff games that Neil was referring to, that one play in particular, the Raymond deep throw to Khalif Raymond was one that I just, even to this day, wasn't expecting at the time, and was just an unbelievable moment. But it, for me, it was that game-winning drive against the Chiefs in 2019, where we were up against the clock, we couldn't use Derrick Henry. And we had to throw the ball. We had to be smart with how we played it to win that game. And that was probably the best that we saw from Ryan Tannehill in a Titans uniform. Even if statistically it probably wasn't his best game, for me, leading that team to win that game with that drive, it was just an incredible piece of quarterback play. So yeah, look, I've got a lot of respect for him. I know it's not ended as well as we would like to have done. I think certainly that 2021 season felt like a missed opportunity, but I can't criticize what he did. When we picked him up, no one was expecting anything of him at all. And he ended up giving us, you know, a couple of really good years, or a few really good years as a starting quarterback. And I'm sure he will. I'm almost certain he'll get a job somewhere else, whether that's New England or anywhere else for that matter. I think he will get a backup job somewhere. And it wouldn't surprise me if he ended up starting a fair few games, because quarterbacks drop like flies nowadays. So we'll see. But I think he will be missed. I think he's one of those players that really helped us after the Mariota situation and the benching of Mariota. It could have gone south pretty quick, but he very much steadied the ship and took us on a good run.
Interesting thought that's kind of forming in my head throughout the time we've been chatting about the possibility of Vrabel going to New England and, in inverted commas, getting the band back together. I'm not entirely convinced that's an approach that will work, but we might see it happen. But yeah, it'd be weird to see all that if that happens.
I cannot see Derrick Henry in a Pats uniform. I just can't. I'm not going to be able to see it. I can't do it.
I'm not sure I could see him in any other uniform. But we might do. We might do. It was an emotional speech Derrick Henry gave to what was a mostly empty stadium, because no one was expecting it, so people had left. But he still did it. He hung around for hours afterwards, signing autographs, posing for pictures, as you'd expect. You know, absolutely top guy. It's been, eight seasons as a Tennessee Titan. Greg, start with you this time. There's a couple of obvious answers here, but I'm not going to do a QI klaxon on you if you go that way. favorite Derrick Henry memories.
There's plenty, and I'm not going to go into the obvious ones. There is the one for me actually is the run against the Colts, when he just run over Darius Leonard, and I'm pretty sure Darius Leonard's soul left his body, and I don't think anyone's seen him since, or maybe it's just me. And I know he doesn't like being called Darius as well, but I'm going to continue with that. That for me was
Derrick Henry stole his name. That's how hard he hit him.
it was one of those ones. It wasn't like it wasn't a stiff arm where, you know, he went flying through the air from his arm. He just bulldozed him down. It was just like watching a car run over a toddler. It was just one of those things that was that play that just made you almost make a loud noise and then think, Jesus Christ, that guy is an absolute monster. But actually, it was watching Derrick Henry on Sunday when he came off the field, and I think he shook hands with Mike Vrabel. You just forget how big that guy is. When he's on a football field, you kind of look at him and you think, yeah, he's a big dude, but he's around a lot of other big dudes. But Jesus Christ, just when he went up towards Vrabel, and I think he walked past somebody else, and I was thinking, geez, that guy's an absolute monster. I still think he could do a job for us. I think now Vrabel's gone, I think there's next to no chance it's going to happen, but I would love to see him back. I'd love to see him break records. I really would. I think, because I still think he's proven on Sunday that, you know, if you get the right pieces around him and you fix that offensive line, you know, he can still play a big, big part. He's not going to get 30 carries a game, but you don't need him to if he can make those big impact plays like he did on Sunday.
It did. If any of us were starting to think that his time may have been up, Sunday actually just showed me that it wasn't. But the speed, I know he didn't take it for a touchdown, but that long run he had where he kind of, whether he'd have taken it to the house a couple of years ago, I don't know. He sort of chose to go the stiff arm approach rather than the speed, but I think he would have had the speed. It was the seventh fastest run by a ball carrier in the league this season, so he's not lost much of a step. But yeah, I don't want to dwell on that. I'll get sad. Neil, favorite Derek Henry moments, memories, whatever.
So I'm going to go rogue because obviously, in the early days of our groups, I didn't always get along with Derek Henry when he was sort of number two to DeMarco Murray, and I never felt like he ran to his size or played to his physique. I always thought he like played like a scat back and always tried to bounce to outside all the time. And it used to really frustrate me, but the game where I absolutely fell in love with him and obviously realised that I was dead wrong with everything I was saying were the Kansas City playoff game.
The first one.
Yeah, Mariota.
I know exactly which one you're going to say.
When he broke that big run, that big touchdown run, and there were like a brief second where everybody thought it were coming back.
Yeah.
That's the game when I truly, truly fell in love with him and thought, yeah, this guy's legit. And that'll always stand out for me, as well as, obviously, you can count on one finger amount of poor games he's had against Jacksonville as well. He always seemed to just obviously bulldoze over Jacksonville whenever we played him. So, and his durability, I mean, there's that one injury I remember, really.
And that was a freak. That's a foot injury
It came at a crucial time, which were unfortunate. But really is just an absolute legend of this franchise and always will be.
Yeah, absolutely. But Miles, give us some more.
Sorry, Adam,
no, go on, Greg, give us some more
about,
as well.
Sorry, man. I just want to talk about that Chiefs. For me, it was that first down run with the Mariota block. That play, which won the game, took it to knees.
Yeah.
I could watch that on repeat, I could tell you.
Yeah.
I'd want to go and watch that right now. That second half of that game. Just, Stop it.
Don't let Eric Decker spoil it.
A shout out for DeMarco Murray, who were excellent in them 2 years as well.
And probably really, really had a good. Lot to do. Probably had a lot to do with Derek Henry's development, in truth.
Yeah.
It seems a long time ago, doesn't it? Miles, give us some, give us your fantasy football memory, because I know that's more important to you than real life.
Why is no one shouting out Deion Lewis? The obvious fantasy football, sick for the 12th, 2018 versus Jacksonville Jaguars. He had 238 yards. He had 17 attempts. So for all you mathematicians out there, that works out at
a lot.
Cool 14 yards a carry. He also had 4 touchdowns that day. I haven't even bothered looking at if he caught the ball because he didn't need to. As a little side thing for me with Derrick Henry, outside of football, it sounds stupid, but like a year or so ago, although I've managed very well this past year to actually put a bit of weight back on, but I had a big weight loss. And there's a picture that I've got at the moment as my background, which is really good for podcast viewers that can't see it, of Derrick Henry being an absolute monster. And when I was doing my weight loss, I had that as my wallpaper on my phone as like a, people can look like this. People can do this. And I'd used to watch videos of him running up hills and stuff and just thinking, this guy's an absolute unit. And I'd try and do some of the things he'd do, and I could never do what he could do. But he wasn't half inspiring to think he's a big dude who can move in that way. And he does so much for a community, and he does so much for other people that just as a human being, he is an inspiration, right, to me. So whatever happens with him, like, I have my opinion from the business of football, what he should do. But as a Titan and what he's done for Nashville and for everyone else, I I think there's no one you'd want more to be like a representative of a team, of how he would carry the team on his back, not just on the field, but off the field. So whatever happens with him, but I think he's an inspiration and a true legend to the team.
Oh, look, that night in 2018 was, I mean, we'd seen it. Neil, you mentioned the Kansas City playoff game that preceded that, and we'd seen what he could do. It seems mad. That game, Dion Lewis started at running back. That just, it seems insane to think about it. I mean, that was the moment that the world realized what he could do, not just Titans fans or the AFC South or whatever. It was, hang on, and he was so dominant. Obviously the 99 yards, but what followed as well, there was that sort of 50, 60 yarder later on in that game. And I can hear Joe Buck in my head, just what a night. And the whole, after that touchdown, that's the big team celebration. And you see them all, even more than the 99 yarder. The one, other one that stick, I mean, there's so many, obviously. The one that gives me goosebumps is the opening credits of our show at the moment. The one in the following year, he's done it again. And he did it to Jacksonville the next season. And the call from Iron Eagle that time. And it just goosebumps any time I just think about it, let alone watching it. It was just so often. Like you could think of running backs who've had special moments for. Well, I mean, Titans running backs, we've been blessed with quite a few, haven't we? But like, how many? I mean, he's the best, isn't he? I mean, like, their big Chris Johnson had a few. Like, how many massive Eddie George runs can you think of? Not many. How many? A couple from DeMarco Murray, maybe. But with Henry, it's like 20 like that. Probably, yeah. I don't know like how many over 50 yards, like lots and lots and lots. Like it was just consistent, like to have that size and speed. And that smile, man, that smile.
He's a charming, charming man.
Like Lendell White and Chris Johnson, both the skill sets rolled into one.
Absolutely, yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Which is unbelievable.
His face when he's carrying the ball, you get those close ups and he's just
it's the
those
scary
eyes.
eyes.
He's,
Like he's
yeah,
terrified,
those
but
lighters.
also
Smash and so yeah, smash and dash, Neil. I think that's what
Yeah,
we were
both
looking
together.
for.
Yeah. I look forward to my selfie with Derrick Henry in like 5 years' time when Titans are in London again.
Imagine a running back that had the speed of Lendale, but the physicality of Chris Johnson. What that would look
Oh.
like.
Dion Lewis.
Deal.
I mean, Josh Norman is still yet to have a full night's sleep because of this man. So, I mean, there's many others that I think if you just want to jump on the angry runs by Cal Brandt, I'm sure there's a whole video just on the way he's terrorized DBs.
We
What I love.
don't have time
Sorry.
to name all the people that he stiff-armed into oblivion. It's just not possible.
It was a big runs for me though. Like you talked about, and we haven't even really spoken about that 99 yarder, but it was those big runs that you used to go on. I think it's the Bills one that comes to mind. I think it's 20, maybe 2019, something like that, where it was about only about a 60-yard run. I say only, like it's nothing, but it was one of those ones where it just looked like it was slow motion. Yeah, he was just accelerating away from every single person chasing him down, and he just had that. That was just unique for me. You see a lot of running backs who have speed in this league. You can tell they're going fast. With Derrick Henry, it was almost just seamless. And even on Sunday, there's a few runs like that where he was just gone. He just had that burst that was just unbelievable.
It's
I
like,
actually, go on now.
sorry, it's like only running back I can remember that actually has like game winning drives, like a quarterback.
Well,
Don't
that one in New England in the playoffs. Where I think it was like a 90 something yard drive, and every touch was Derrick Henry, the entire thing.
He's a great QB, like let alone
Yeah,
running back. He's
we haven't even mentioned his throwing. Five touchdown passes, is it?
That was the worst part of Sunday, is that now he's not got as many throwing touchdowns as Tannehill this year. I wanted that. I wanted that. I wanted that stat to end the year, if I'm honest.
He pips him on the rushing touchdown, so luckily.
Yeah, that's had.
Yeah, I hope it's, if it's not too late, Titans, just keep him forever. Like, ever and ever. That's it.
No arguments from me.
Yeah. Logic, forget any logic, forget anything else, just keep him. That's it.
The Titans have had a really good, I say good, like, you think of some of the players they've cut in recent years, like Taylor Wan hasn't gone on to continue to play. I mean, obviously, we know he had that knee injury. Ben Jones, who, you know, I wasn't happy with about when he left, obviously didn't go on to play. I don't see that happening with Derrick Henry, although there's a really selfish part of me that wants it to happen, where he just says, you know what, I've had enough. I'm quite happy to just retire a Titan and move on. If he's not going to play for us, I just don't want to see him in another jersey. Certainly not a Pats jersey.
I think we have to, like, if it does happen, we'll get past it. Be like, Eddie did it. Like,
yeah,
Steve Nair did it. It happens.
Johnson did it. CJ did it. Like, everyone does it.
Spears has already proven that next year he's going to be the number one Russian in the league. So, you know.
The future is bright with him, by the way. I don't, yeah, we're running. We're
on the ground. It's scary.
Yeah, he looked absolutely terrific, didn't he? But we're running out of time for Titans matters, really. I mean, I could talk about this all night, but I don't have all night. That's the truth. Yeah, it's been a lot to get through, but we need to do a little bit of non-Titans related. Miles, it's been a while, I think, since you were last here. What's been going on?
Yeah, I'm almost like a Glory supporter coming back for a victory, but I'm not a fan. I can confirm I'm not a Glory supporter. I've wrote down three things today, which I never write down notes. Obviously, two of them were fantasy football. The third one is not. The third one is quite niche, which I know we'll enjoy. In work, I've started a new job the past couple of months or so. It can get a bit chilly sometimes. I'm working in multiple areas in a lab, and part of it involves being towards the back area of a giant lab where sometimes they open the shutters and the cold gets in. Even though I'm from the north and I'm built a little different, I can't handle the cold very well. So I have got a Airmaster oil-filled 2,000-watt radiator with 9 fins, a timer, and a thermometer.
Humble brag.
Humble brag. Thank you very much for everyone getting involved. I'm sure at home you were saying the same thing. Purely because I saw it and it was unopened, and I went, "Who's is that?" Airmaster oil-filled 2,000-watt radiator with 9 fins and timer. And they went, "It's yours if you want it." I was like, "Cool. I'm going to get this installed. This is going to make my days a lot easier." I get the instructions out of the box, and the instructions for the Airmaster oil-filled 2,000-watt radiator were for a previous, when I say previous, I actually mean a more modern version of the radiator I actually had in the box. And it's something that really, I don't know why, I decided to have a moment and completely want to implode, that you get given a set of instructions in a box for a radiator of how to just install the wheels at the bottom of it, because you're not allowed to just put a radiator on the floor for this. It's one of these move around ones. You have to install the wheels yourself. Less humble brag. And when I got the instructions, the actual model of said radiator, which is in the image, was not my radiator. So basically, I've been given a set of instructions for a different Airmaster product, which wasn't the product I had inside. And I don't understand how that's something that's managed to happen. I've basically been given a second gen radiator. Don't mind. But I was given the instructions for a third gen radiator, sort of saying, all you need to do is unscrew this screw, and this screw didn't exist. I said, and you put this on here, and it shows you the picture. And you know when you're looking at your radiator and the picture and the instructions and realize that they're two different things? I sent an email to Airmaster.
This is getting very Partridge.
I am yet to have a response.
Where's this going? Carry on.
Adam, I've got so angry at the inability to install 4 wheels on a radiator that at one point I thought, if I just put masking tape on this, it'll do the job. I've sent an email to Airmaster with a complaint.
Who had Miles getting angry about a radiator on their bingo card? Be honest.
I don't mean it's on any bingo card exists anywhere. I'm enjoying it though.
And when I to be honest, Adam, I was just going to keep on going in spirals over how I almost launched a radiator across a lab just on the basis that I couldn't put four wheels attached to it, because what they'd given me the parts for one thing, but then the wrong thing. And I didn't install this, it was just there. It was like a happy act. Basically, I feel like I've either getting pranked by someone that someone else had tried to install it and realized it can't because it right. I'm angry, Adam.
Sounds like an unhappy accident.
I think we need to move on. I'm going to listen to this properly when I listen back, because I've definitely zoned out. I'm not going to lie.
No, I've listened intently.
There will be a Derrick Henry poem in the next couple of weeks, if that makes you feel better.
That would, if you wouldn't mind.
I've been listening, Miles, and no one cares about your fantasy team.
Thank you.
I assume that's what he was talking about.
Harrison Butker was gonna be my non-Titan related for how he performed in the fantasy football player final, but I didn't do it 2 years, but I wanted to.
Good, right. Neil.
I don't know where to go now. I'm a bit like...
Patrick Bamford.
Obviously check out that goal if you've not seen it. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, obviously, I've been sort of surprised by non-Leeds fans' reaction to that goal, because it just does it all the time.
That can't do that all the time, surely.
That's just who he is.
That's got to be the first time he's done it dressed as Mr. Blobby, surely.
Yeah, definitely.
One of the most incredible away kits I've ever seen.
Yeah, and actually, kit watch, it does come with blue shorts, but they insist on wearing all pink.
Is that because Peter had blue shorts? Yeah. I mean, blue doesn't clash with white for a start. That's another conversation. Yeah. But carry on.
I was going to moan about price of haircuts, obviously, because, well, I'm a bald guy.
Do you not get half price because you don't have to cut all of your head?
Yeah, and I've let my beard grow out over Christmas because, like, I work in a lot of hours and I just couldn't be bothered, but kind of look like an hobo at the minute. So went to a shopping centre, which is like 20 minutes down the road from me. Anybody up north will have heard of it, Meadowhall. Turkish barber's there. 24 quid for a wet towel shave on my head and 16 quid for my beard doing.
40 total.
40 total, yeah. And obviously, you're going to tip as well.
Obviously.
You're going to give him a couple of quid for courtesy, aren't you? Like, so, yeah, 40 total for a beard trim and an head shave. Right? And I balked at it as any sane person would. And my wife said I were tight, which annoyed me because I'm not tight. But anyway, back in the upper crust part of South Yorkshire, I found a barber that's going to do exactly the same for 16.
There we go.
So I were correct. And no. Right to balk at the price. So
you need to get a head shave and do it yourself. After about 4 years, you've made your money back.
I'll do it myself.
Yeah, I do it myself, but I just fancied, like, you know, like a nice beard.
You fancied being pampered, didn't you?
That's basically, I will say.
When my so shaver quarter broke, past two I did tomorrow, look
at quarter past two tomorrow, I'll be sat in that chair, with foil in my beard.
Is his name Sweeney Todd? Is he gonna?
His face was pale and his eyes were red.
You'll be covered in cuts, which you wouldn't have got at that place in Meadowhall.
Yeah.
I'm going to quickly. I got lost in a bit of a rabbit hole today. I don't know why. This is just completely.
Was it Martin from Times related?
You're welcome.
It was. I'll tell you what it was related to. It was related to South Korea and they're banning the production or the selling of dog meat for human consumption, which is kind of a little bit of a thing in the Far East still. But I got lost into a bit of a. It's got to be. I never really thought much about eating dog meat in the past, as repulsive as it is. But apparently, it's a thing in some parts of the world, including Switzerland. Who knew?
Toblerone and dog meat.
Toblerone and dog meat. So apparently, in Switzerland, some people like to eat their dogs and cats. This is a country very much on our doorstep. I have been there a few times. It's not very far away, and that's what they do there still. There you go.
Interesting. Have you not had a Tesco lasagna? I'm pretty sure that's
horse meat, definitely.
Horse is delicious.
I'm sure there are a few kebab shops where you think this is questionable, but Greg, finish the show.
I'll be really quick because I know you need to run. But I hate pitch invasions. I think I've had this as a non-Titans related before. I'm a Stevenage fan. Got luckily or unluckily for us, got knocked out of the FA Cup against a team three levels below us. The worst part of it was right at the end when you had loads of Maidstone fans, of which probably about 90% of them, it was the first game they were turning up to that year anyway. And they were just trying to goad the Stevenage fans. But what annoyed me the most was, you kind of expect it, so you kind of think, yeah, whatever. What annoyed me the most was the, not the stewards, but the security staff that were on for the game. There was like three of them that were basically swinging punches at Stevenage fans who were getting irate at these people who were goading them, throwing punches at them. I was just like, you could actually just move those guys further back onto the pitch so they're not literally right in front of the away end. But no, you're too busy throwing punches at Stevenage fans instead. I just hate pitch invasions, and I'm going to moan about pitch invasions every year, every time I see one, because it's really frustrating. But luckily, they got Ipswich in the FA Cup, so I'm delighted because we've been there, done that. It's not an exciting cup tie. So I'm happy that we're out and we can concentrate on the league. Happy days.
I don't understand, like, people coming to blows over football in general. It's something that always annoys me. And
it's weird. Like, we were talking about this last night. I was talking about it with Nate, because he works on the media side, and he was saying how there was like Maidstone fans. As he was walking through, he had like a Stevenage jacket on, and he had like a media pass around his neck, I assume. And then people were literally going up to him being like, "I think you're lost," and almost like following him. And I'm just like, in what world? Like, if you did that in the street anywhere else, like, you just would never happen. Just makes like, why is it acceptable instead of a football ground? Some absolute moron. I'm just like, weird. But yeah, we had the same thing on the way out. Just people like making comments. I was like, you would not make that comment to me in any other situation. Like, it just wouldn't happen. But because you've got coppers around you right now, you think it's fine because I can't retaliate to it. Stupid.
There we go. Bit of a weird way to end, but end we shall. I think there's nothing else to say at this point, but long live the king.
Bye, Mike.
Hoorah.